Free Fire Radio. The phone lines are open at 221-1402. And now, Free Fire Radio is about to commence on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio on News Talk 1400 KQMS. It's Carl on the bot, 221-1402. If you can't quite hear us on 1400, switch over to 1670 AM. That's 10,000 watts. That'll take you all the way up to Cedarville, one of the prettiest places in the state of California. And speaking of the prettiest place in California, here's Frosty sitting over there by himself.
You always try to keep me in the corner, huh?
Well, you know what? It's,
you never know what I'm going to say.
Yeah, it's a scary thing sometimes when you come in here, you know, and you're dressed in the strange. You know, today wearing that burka is just a little bit much, but that's okay. you know, Frosty is one that believes in equality and freedom. You know, it's going to be really hot today. And speaking of something that's really hot, my soulmate, Linda.
You know what? Thank you very much. I guess I should say thank you for that introduction. A couple statistics that have come across our desk recently. Did you know that 80% of accidents that happen are from people eating in the car? So you taco eaters and hamburger eaters and whatever you're eating in the car, just make sure you be very careful. Also, recently 14 new cases of swine flu have been reported of 14 cases. So what we're trying to say here is remember about hygiene. It's so important. Don't blow it off like it's not happening. It's there. So, be very careful, be aware. And speaking of being aware, on the phone with us is our fitness guru, Joe Adamson. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Linda and Carl.
Hey, Joe. I have a question on the swine flu. Kissing a pig, that has got nothing to do with it, right?
The pig has nothing to do with it?
Well, kissing a pig.
Oh, kissing a pig. No, you know, probably not, Carl.
Okay, Frost, you're okay.
However, I'll bet you if someone exercises in great shape, it's really going to decrease their chance of getting the swine flu.
Right, it keeps your immune system up.
Absolutely. One more reason to exercise.
Well, what's your fitness tip of the day, Joe?
Well, last week we talked about how important strength training was, particularly as it applies to losing weight. And some of your listeners may have been thinking, hey, you know, I've lost weight several times without, you know, strength training. And yes, you can. It's absolutely, you can lose the weight without strength training, but you're compromising. I wanted to bring out a study that several years ago, Wayne Westcott with Boston YMCA, he did several studies on his club members back there. He divided them into three groups. One group did diet only, one group did diet and aerobic exercise like walking, biking, and one group did diet and strength training. All of them lost weight. That's not the problem. They'll all lose weight, but the strength training, only the group that did the strength training lost all fat. The other groups lost a lot of muscle. If I recall right, it was about a third of the weight was in muscle. The strength training group not only did not lose any muscle whatsoever, 100% fat, but some of the people actually even gained muscle mass while losing weight. So it really is a huge difference. It's one of the keys if you're looking to tone up and get some weight loss going.
Well, we, you know, how highly we believe in what you guys are doing over there, because it's really different than any other gym that we've been to.
Awesome.
And we always love to hear from you, giving our listeners a fitness tip. And it's Adamson's Peak Performance. They are on Bocelli next to Yak's. Thank you once again for your weekly tip, Joe.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks. We got to take a break now. This is Carl and Linda Bott here, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400, KQMS.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, our guest today is Silas Lyons, the editor of the Record Searchlight, and we're happy you're here. Silas, good morning.
Thank you. I'm happy I'm here, too. It's good to see you.
But before we get into specific questions for the editor of our local paper, let's go to the phones. Ed, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today, Ed?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
Great. What's on your mind?
Well, actually, I had a specific question for the Record Searchlight, if I can do that.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Well, I've been trying to get, you know, I sent it to you, and thank you for posting it, the REU and PG&E rate comparison.
Yes.
It's on your site there, but I've been trying to contact the Searchlight, and I've sent this to Mr. Lyons. Same topic, and the same topic is going to be at the City Council tonight, in a way. They're They're giving away that $500,000 worth of ice-generating air conditioning systems.
Yep.
And they're also approving the budget. And they're all connected in that the budget indicates the May results are pretty bad for REU in terms of their loss, $11 million loss that month.
Is this something you sent directly to me in the past week?
Yeah, I sent it to you. I sent it to Scott Mobley. I sent it to quite a few people there, yeah.
Bruce Ross, who's the editorial page editor, was talking to me yesterday about rate comparisons.
An email exchange about this,
and perhaps you guys have spoken. So I know we're definitely aware of that topic. In fact, he and I talked about it for a little while yesterday. And if I'm correct in guessing, I'm going to take this forward another step. Were you talking about potentially having a tiered rate structure where people who use a lot more power actually begin to see their cost per kilowatt hour go up?
The situation right now is simply that Reading has an inverse discount on rates. The more power you use, the less you pay. And that kind of contravenes all energy policy by every other major utility in the state. The problem is REU loses a huge amount of money this time of year due to air conditioning for obvious reasons. Power costs more. But Reading does not charge its customers more, either for large use or for air conditioning use,
right,
time of day use.
Well, we do have that, and we're I don't know about posting the specific comparison on the website, but I know we are working on some follow up to that.
Well, I appreciate it. Again, you might want to cover. It's just an attachment that they vote on, I guess, at the city council meeting. I don't know if I'll make it or not, but. Just for your information, it's reporting May, the last month. REU apparently lost close to, small print here, pardon me, $11.1 million in May. And the good news is they were expecting to lose $9 million. So,
Carl, you're concerned about the future of newspapers.
Yeah,
we didn't lose that kind of money last month.
No, in the prologue they send the intro, they brag about how they're $1 million ahead.
Yeah.
They only lost $21 million this year rather than 22, but they're not paying attention to the fact that they're hemorrhaging money during the air conditioning.
Yeah. Great. Well,
hey Ed, thanks for your phone call. And now we've got it's on our site. And
I
now,
got you. Thank you. As one of the Stop Tank folks, I'm very happy that's gone. And thank you for the coverage.
And we're going to talk a little bit about that at some point here about how WAPA finally the feds pulled out. So it looks like the
dead
the,
and buried.
Ding dong, the witch is dead.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Ed. You bet. Silas, before we get the phone lines up, let's talk to Silas first.
You know, Silas, I'm sure for many of the people in our community who enjoy reading the Searchlight, and how do you come to Reading? Can you give us a little bit of your history and what led you to become the editor of the Searchlight?
Blind luck. I come to Reading. This is my fourth summer, just a little over 3 years living up here now. And we were looking for a couple of things, my wife and I, when we moved from San Luis Obispo, which is on the Central Coast. Beautiful place.
Yes.
One of them was a job, which I found, while looking on the computer while my wife was still in the hospital, after the birth of our son. And, it was the online manager at the Record Searchlight. And so that was the job that I moved up here to take. The other thing was we were looking for a community that, was very comfortable for us, that was, less expensive, frankly, than living on the coast where we felt like, you know, everybody's life was all about their mortgages.
Right.
And I'm a mountain boy. I grew up in the mountains, and I'm certainly much more comfortable.
You're in West Virginia. Aren't you a hilltopper?
I was born in West Virginia. South Charleston Hospital, and my whole family on my dad's side is in West Virginia, and a great affection for the Mountain State. But I've lived in California since I was 2 years old, so technically, you know, they'll sort of half take responsibility for me back there, but not entirely. They suspect.
Hey, look, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to talk to Silas. We've got people on the lines. We're going to get to you also, and we want to talk to Silas about. Where's our future here for printed newspapers and magazines?
Right
here, Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Welcome back. It's Carl Lindebaugh here on Free Fire Radio. This portion of the show is brought to you Everything Medical, and it's just that it's a full service medical supply. store that is Medicare accredited and has been awarded the Exemplary Provider Award. Now, they've got the largest variety of products in town. There's a showroom and a warehouse. They're locally owned. We love that. And offer free home safety assessments for lifts and cars and vans and free delivery for products brought there. Everything Medical, 2109 Hilltop Drive.
Sharon, good morning. Hello, Sharon, good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Thanks for waiting so long.
Morning. My name is Sharon, and I am calling in regards to the Boston Tea Party.
Yes.
I was there the other evening, Friday evening, enjoyed it immensely. But I am very involved with it. And right now, we are in need of a place that we might be able to do a little growing in our meetings. We meet on Monday nights. And it's usually from 5:30 to 6:30, but it's probably never before 7:30 that we totally abandon the building. And we can't afford at the present time to pay a lot of money. So I didn't know if someone was out there. I'm on the journey of trying to find a building.
Okay.
If someone might be willing to let us use.
Okay, so how'd they get a hold of you, Sharon?
My number is 945-1848. 945-1848.
Okay, now if anybody out there has got a meeting room for the Bostonian Tea Party group, who is, by the way, is growing by leaps and bounds. Okay, Sharon, thank you so much. And it was a great event Friday night, by the way, for
it
people.
It was.
And we have, by the way, there have been some DVDs made for this, and I believe a couple people are talking about it already. Anyway, thank you so much.
Oh, and thank you. Have a great week.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Silas.
Yes.
The future of print journalism. Let's say nationwide first, and then let's talk, and then take it down to Reading.
All right. Well, I'll try to do that as quick as I can. The future of print journalism, let me split those two words up: future of print and future of journalism. Future of print, my crystal ball is as good as anybody's. I think there are a lot of people who still want to pick a newspaper up out of the tube, off the doorstep, or out of the driveway every morning and bring it in and read it with their coffee. So I think that particularly in a place like Redding, California, the future of actually printing newspapers on a press with soy-based ink and recycled paper and delivering them every day is probably pretty good for a good long while. I wouldn't be the one to say forever because, technology changes.
Is that a daily paper or is that like maybe three times a week?
It's already three or four times a week in a lot of places in America. So far for us, it's a daily paper. We've had people say, well, the Monday paper's gotten so small. Why don't you just drop Monday? Why don't you just drop Monday or Tuesday? I don't think that's a very good, thing for us to do right now. I think we're still at a point where people rely on that for the news we deliver on those days. And we cover really important things that happen in the communities on Mondays and Tuesdays, and as well as some great things. And we were just looking today at the scene section, some of the pictures from Friday night. I think the things that are in those, Monday and Tuesday papers valuable. Now, the future of journalism, just get to that real quickly. Newspapers have traditionally, and still do, run the largest staffs of journalists in local communities. We are by far the largest newsroom covering this region. And, the reporters and the editors and the photographers who work at the Record Searchlight right now are doing a lot of the grunt work of actually going out and finding and covering the news in this community. And that is extremely important. If there's anything that's really precious in those of us working in the industry right now feel a real weight of responsibility to preserve, it's that ability to do really strong, aggressive, but really also positive, solution-oriented journalism in local communities, and in our case, it's in the North State and here in Reading. So,
Well, you know, we've got to take a quick break here for the news. But, you know, one of the things is you're noticing, like, the big, you know, the big paper. I say, quote, big papers, New York Times, the Washington Post, all these are in deep trouble right now. And part of it could be because of their slant on the news. And I'd like to talk a little bit about that when we get back. This is Carl on the Bottom, Free Fire Radio, News Talk, 1400 KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Our guest today is Silas Lyons, who is the editor and the honcho of the Record Searchlight, our local paper.
Let's go to the phones.
Tom, good morning.
Well, good morning. I had a couple things, but I think I'll just tailor it to my remarks about newspapers. You're up against some pretty tough competition with the Internet these days, and I see all newspapers seeming to get lighter on the ad, and that's your bread and butter. So,
true.
What do you? Your revenues have dropped, obviously, because I was looking at the want ads, and they're half what they used to be. Mm-hmm. Everybody, so many people are using Craigslist, which is free, and I know to even bring that up to a newspaper editor is probably like bringing a ham to a Jewish picnic. But anyway, what do you? Have you? Just doesn't seem like this is the best time to be investing in newspapers. Although I do think the printed page will always be there.
So is there a question here, Tom?
Yeah, well, what do you think the price is going to be? I mean, what's gonna happen here? You know, you don't. There's no bailouts for newspapers. There shouldn't be.
No, there should not be. I don't want the government's money.
Wait a minute. Today, on this show, Silas Lyons says, I don't want the government's money. I like it.
There you go. You know, having a newspaper in America right now is kind of like owning an old car in a bad neighborhood. You know, we already knew we had a blown head gasket, and we were going to have to deal with that because the classifieds had, as you pointed out, the classified advertising was the thing that made newspapers hum financially, the primary thing. On top of that, there was all the local advertising and the what we call retail advertising. So we already knew we had an issue there, and then the economy went in the tank. And what you're seeing now, especially in big city metro papers, but also in smaller papers around the country, is the results of that. We're dealing with both things. We're dealing with the fact that our industry is changing tremendously. At the same time, we have a bad economy, and we're local newspapers. I mean, we rise and fall with the local community. If this community prospers, the Record Searchlight prospers. When this community suffers, the Record Searchlight cuts back, because we are extremely tied to the fortunes of this community.
One other thing. You know, I've been through recessions before, and I've never seen the want ads. Usually they increase during times when people are trying to unload stuff. But again, the fact of life is the Craigslist has gobbled up probably two-thirds of your classified business. And I find this everywhere, because I buy a multitude of different papers whenever I go out of town.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's very
Sacramento Bee's want at classifieds are about the same size as Record Searchlight used to be. And I'm also wondering, and I'm not one to, promote price increases, but
yeah,
you've been 50 cents now for about 15 years, and I'm just wondering, costs go up, wages, everything. What are we looking at? A dollar and a half daily paper pretty quick? Or?
Hey, Tom, you're going to have to take your answer on the air here. We've got a lot of other people here. So, Silas, what do you have on that one?
Well, as far as the cost, we took our first very modest price increase in 13 years, just the end of last year. And, I think that I would expect us to be looking at the price of the paper as we go forward, because it costs a lot to deliver this thing. Yeah. And the less, the less advertising is there to subsidize that, the more we got to.
I have a question for you about advertising. We have a friend who has a local business, and one day we were talking about his advertising, and he had said that he had taken five different front pages from the Searchlight and said, as he was being quoted the price of what it would be for him to run his ads, mm-hmm. He said, if you look at the front page of every one of these newspapers, every single thing is so dark and negative. Why would I want to put my ads in what I'm reading on the front page? What do you think about that?
Well, I think folks have their own perceptions of what's positive and negative news, and I don't want to second guess this gentleman or what the experience was, what he saw in those 5 days papers. But I'll tell you that the Record Searchlight runs an awful lot more positive community news than most people I talk to give us credit for, and that was true of the last newspaper I worked at too. I think it's partly what happens when you are a newspaper and you cover everything as aggressively as possible. Yeah, we cover a lot of things that are not good news. A lot of things that actually happen in our community, need to be dealt with as a community, are not good news. Tank was not good news to the people that were in its path. When some kids decide on a whim that they're going to go bash somebody's head in, because he's a homeless guy and they can, that's not good news. But you know what? That happened in our community. We have to deal with it. And so, I think it's extremely important that we bring the news to folks. And frankly, the Record Searchlight Reading.com reach about 82% of the adults in this market. So, the value proposition for an advertiser is that you're getting in front of, the people of Shasta County. And, it has been an effective value proposition for a long time.
John, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. Linda.
Morning.
How are you this morning?
We're wonderful. Thank you, John.
Great. Listen, I got a couple things to say, and then I have a question, of course. I've always felt the newspapers are the backbone of the fourth estate. You know, of all reporting media, it's essential that newspapers be there, the print media.
I agree.
And the papers are no doubt having trouble because of the ease and convenience, the universality of the Internet. And I don't know how it's going to play out. It's just, I think newspapers are going to continue to downsize. But my concern is this. I know that you're not necessarily writing all the editorials in the paper, and I think Bruce Ross writes a few. I'd like to know about the editorial on the 16th where you guys said that the prosecutor was right to stop senseless trial. I have seen the videos of this event, both the original one and the enhanced one, and it clearly shows that there was an assault.
Regarding Martinez.
That's right.
This is the Adam Martinez killing.
Right. In the case at what was formerly Club Ice. Thanks for the question. And just real briefly on the Internet, the Record Searchlight is we own by far the largest website in Northern California, and Reading.com is extremely active in breaking news. So one of our strategies with the Internet is just to be there and to compete with ourselves. If anybody's going to compete with us, we want to compete with ourselves. As far as our editorial position supporting Jerry Benito on deciding not to press charges in the Club Ice case, I would really recommend anybody wondering about that to go on to Reading.com actually and do a search for that story and read the statement that the district attorney put out regarding his decision. And it is, I think you have to really, this is one of those cases where I don't think you just look at a video and you make a judgment. Yeah, I think you have to go in and you have to read the law that the DA was considering in the case. And the law says that self-defense or defense of another person has to do with three major points, three major questions that you have to ask in this case. And one of them, really people are saying, well, she wasn't in any, the woman in this case wasn't in any obvious danger of being harmed, but that's not what the law asks. It asks if she was in obvious danger of being unlawfully touched. And it, which would be anything that was basically against her will, any touching that was against her will. And so do we, those of us who've seen it, I mean, do I think that's the way to solve a problem? That wasn't the way I was raised, and that's not what I believe. Somebody died at the hands of another person. And so, as we've stated, I think the outrage in this case is certainly understandable, but I think that if I were presented with the same thing that Jerry Benito was presented with, he's a lawyer and I'm not, but I think I probably would have made the same call. And we knew he was taking a lot of heat. We decided to support him on making what was a really difficult decision in that case. We've criticized him on others. And
yeah,
so,
we've got to take a break here, John, but we clearly do not support him on this. And, for the reason is that it's have some consistency. There have been other people killed in this county by horrible means. And I don't, a policeman whose child got a hold of his weapon, a woman that he was not charged, a woman who was texting and her daughter was killed, she was charged, a 16-year-old who was involved in an alcohol incident, she was charged. You know, personally, I don't think the policeman or the woman whose daughter was killed while she was texting should have been charged. So, you know, there's no misunderstandings on that. But here's a man, and I don't know him. I saw the thing. He came up and hit him from behind and killed him. He killed him. He took a person's life. That person is not going to breathe. That person's not going to achieve anything. He at least deserves a day in court. Carl and DeBott, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400, KQMS.
Our guest today is Silence Lions with the Record Searchlight. And this is Carla Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. You know, besides just having a great, everything you could possibly want in the tobacco department, they've got a killer coffee department and a wine selection. Right now, you can get 5-pound bags at great prices of coffee. And they've got mini espresso machines for sale. 2143 Hilltop Drive. Shoe and Shelly are your neighbors and great Americans.
Norm, good morning. Thanks for waiting.
Good morning, Carl, Linda.
Morning.
Mr. Lyons, mine is more a statement than a question.
Okay.
You've got hundreds and hundreds of veterans up here in this area. It's a great area for veterans. And I think if you were to profile one veteran a week in your paper, you might get some of us veterans back buying your paper again.
One a week.
It's something to think about.
All right. I appreciate that suggestion. And, okay. And you're right. This is a great community for veterans. I'm proud to be with one right now.
Norm, thanks a lot.
Last...
You know, Norm, there's like 20,000 veterans up here.
That's what I was going to say, yeah. And counting. They're not quite sure.
And then I was going to ask, too, we've got a lot of people on the line, but, you know, on Memorial Day or Veterans Day, you charge $29 to have a veteran put in the paper.
Yeah, that is something the advertising department handles, and I should have come prepared to answer that question, but I'm not because I'm not sure. I think it goes back quite some time that they've been doing that every year, but I don't know the specifics of it.
I would urge you to take a look at that and see if you couldn't get some of your bigger advertisers so that when you recognize some of our veterans, they don't have to pay $30 for it. And you know, and that wasn't. Of course, you don't know what the questions are going to be, but when he said that, it just reminded me.
Well, thanks, Carl. I think that's fair. I'll go back and ask the question. I would point out, a lot of the veterans in this community know the name Jim Schultz fairly well. Jim is a really great veteran reporter for us, who also covers the courts, but who covers veterans and has done just a tremendous job of it. He's told some wonderful veteran stories over the years, if anybody is on top of kind of what's going on with veterans and the North State, Jim has been a terrific
resource. Well, and that's what Norm's idea. It's probably not a bad idea because you've got Medal of Honor winners here. You've got some real heroes up here that once a week probably.
We lost one not too long ago when James Sweat died. That was
absolutely
a real loss.
And we've got just a number of heroes here. Okay, Larry. Good morning. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, good morning, Carl.
Hey, you're on.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just have one question for Mr. Lyons.
Sure.
Prior to Obama taking office in January, every American soldier's death was on the front page or in the A section. Since that time, it's not even mentioned in the paper. Why is that?
Well, every American soldier's death was on the front page. I haven't done the same measure, apparently, that you have, and maybe Carl and Linda have noticed.
Are you talking about the Record Searchlight, Larry? Or,
yeah.
I don't know.
It was, six soldiers killed today, roadside bomb, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Now, occasionally you hear it on the news, but not even on the news, which is a different story. But it's I didn't agree with when it was put on the front page before.
We had a caller that called yesterday and asked the very same question, is where is the account of of our soldiers that our American soldiers that, or any, representing our country across the world have passed on or been killed?
Well, let me tell you what. Let me try to answer that question best as I can, because I haven't done the same measure, and I don't know that that's the case. I can tell you, as the editor of this newspaper, that certainly the election of Barack Obama would have nothing to do with that sort of policy for us when it changed it one way or the other. What we have done is, as you've noticed, the newspaper getting smaller. We have tried to eliminate wire and non-local news every single time possible in favor of keeping leaving our local news report untouched, and that's what we've managed to do. I'm extremely proud of that. So I think that what you have seen is there's just a lot less news from all over the world and from the nation in the record searchlight, because we believe that what our real mission is local news.
You know, we do have to take a break here, but, you know, Larry, you're right, though. It's, you know, when before it was Bush's war, and you saw a lot more negative coverage on it, anything they could, but now that it's Obama's wars, I don't think you're seeing as much. Well, plus the fact is that deaths are really down in Iraq, which is a big thing, but they're starting to pick up in Afghanistan. We've had more killed this week than we ever have. So, Larry, thank you so much for your phone call. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. We'll get your phone calls as soon as we get back.
Welcome back. It's Carla Linda Bott. Our guest today is Silas Lyons. Of course, he's the editor of the Record Searchlight. Silas, what in the last 4 years since you've been here has the Record Searchlight done that you're most proud of?
Wow. Well, there's a few things. One of them most recently was the series that we did on fire and preventing catastrophic wildfire. We invested a lot of time into that. A couple of reporters in particular, Ryan Sablo and Dylan Darling, who really carried the greatest weight of that series. And the whole purpose of it, and what I'm really proud of, is the whole purpose of it was to say, what is a major thing? What's the major problem for our community? And how can we illuminate that issue so that people know really what is the consensus about what ought to be done? And so we asked, and who needs to do it and be held accountable for it? And so we asked those questions. We found out things that had never been talked about before about smoke dangers. We talked a lot about backburning and burnouts and the effect on communities. And we talked a lot about what needs to be done out in the forest to prevent this stuff in the future. And so I'm really proud of the work that was done on that. Proud of some of the work we've done at City Hall. I think there's been a lot of accountability there from REU and the abatements when people are being thrown out after their power was turned out to the work we've done more recently on Tank. So I think we do a really, really strong job of informing the community and holding local folks accountable.
Well, great. Let's go to the phones now.
Hey, Sally, we don't have a lot of time.
Okay, my question for Mr. Lyons is, how do you determine the priority of the article you put in the paper? For instance, the Gay Pride Parade, you had a before article and an after article describing how 30 people showed up. Then for the Sheriff Mack thing, where 600 people showed up in 108-degree weather, there was not a follow-up article at all. How do you determine which gets article space?
Well, there's a few ways we determine what things to cover first and then what things to put where in the newspaper. As far as where things go in the newspaper, we do that usually at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We all meet together and we talk about what's on tap for the next day and sort of place it on the front page and on the front of the local section. In terms of making judgment calls between various types of events that we cover, we do tend to cover concerts, speeches, those sorts of events where there is kind of a performer or a speaker or somebody addressing a crowd. We don't tend to cover those real heavily. We tend to cover them in advance, let people know they're happening so they can go. On the other hand, when there's things like protests, people show up in the streets, that we do cover quite a bit more. These are always the most controversial things we do. Regardless of who we cover, we always hear from it, either that we've covered something too much or too little.
Okay, thank you for your answer.
Thank you.
Okay, we're wrapping up here. We only got a couple minutes left here, Silas. And we've had a number of questions have come in too. One of them is anonymous comments.
Yes.
On the blogs. I know that Kim Murray has complained about that, you know, for on and on.
I'm remembering sitting in this very seat terribly long ago being grilled by Ken issue. Kelly's laughing over here because he was sitting here too at the time.
Well, this has come up is that people get vicious with each other and say some pretty horrible things. And anonymously. And of course, you know, you got to take it with a grain of salt that if they're anonymous means for whatever reason. But
we have,
they're not held accountable, though.
We have some new tools, and I don't want to go too much into it to give the whole thing away, but we have some new tools on our comments right now to better police those conversations, and there are some ways of letting users participate in the policing of those comments. Certainly anybody can report a comment as being inappropriate, and there's a number of reasons why a comment would get deleted from our website. Certainly anything that's libelous, anything that is profane, and, you know, you can anything that's off topic. That's right. And it's all posted clearly for people to understand. As far as anonymous, the we are in comments. We are swimming in the waters of the internet. The internet has its own set of rules for conversation, and to that extent, we're sort of trying to bend it to our will more than a lot of sites on the internet do. We are trying to control it to a certain extent, allow some control. At the same time, we want an open forum.
You know,
it's all about the open forum.
We have run out of time here, and we're sorry for the people that are on the lines. Again, we've run out of time. Silas Lyons, the editor of the Record Searchlight, thank you very much for coming here.
You'll come back again, won't you?
I would love to come back. This has been great. I've the hour has gone very quickly.
Yeah, it always does. Hey, this is Carl Lundebot from Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. So just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?